distractions that keep us from exploring our souls, from touching God. Moments when our defenses are down, life is still, and we are left only with our questions and our fears. They bubble up within us in the murky mistiness of our inner world and challenge us really in those moments not to find answers, but to confront our humanness, our frailty, our insecurities, and our uncertainties. These are the questions and fears that lurk just on the edges of our consciousness. We know they're there, but generally we try to do everything we can to avoid them, to distract ourselves, or bury them down deep in, so deep that we don't have to deal with them. Yet they will prevail, and they will come out in some way, and they prevent us from living the abundance spoken of by Christ. This kind of questioning and fear is the kind that comes to us in the dark. You know, those moments when we turn off the lights at night and we're laying there by ourselves, and those things, those questions, those doubts, those concerns, those uncertainties kind of bubble up within us, and there's nothing to distract us from them. Anybody have those besides me? Those doubts and fears and worries. Moments when we come face to face with the things that are deepest within us. Yet, here is the neatest thing about our faith and about these questions and doubts. If we face them, they can be the most transformational moments in our lives. When we can step over the threshold into light and into a new way of being, or we can retreat further and ignore the potential that we can find in those questions and fears. This is actually what the Lenten journey is about, and what our Lenten sermon series will be about over the next weeks as we journey towards Easter, towards light. Last year, I sort of have a book every year. My 2015 book, which I gave to a number of people at Christmas, because when I find a book that I really like, I usually pass it along to a bunch of people. I don't even know who I'm going to give it to. I just order a bunch, and then I give them to people I think. So this was the book for me last year. It was by a Catholic nun and author. Her name is Sister Joan Chittister, and the book is called Between the Dark and the Daylight. And it has been the jumping off point for me for this Lenten series that I've been thinking about now for months after reading that book. So together, what we're going to do for the next 6 weeks is explore some of the questions and the fears that human beings experience as threats. But also, within them is the potential of living into something new and exciting, something that adds meaning and value to our lives, things that can move us in the darkness toward light. This can only be done, however, if we recognize that life is paradoxical. We can only actually know about light because we know about darkness. We can only know joy if we know what sorrow feels like. We can only experience wholeness because we know brokenness. So it is that to understand what abundant life is, the abundant life that Christ talks about, we have to know and experience what it is not. To know brokenness and woundedness is to know that life can be vibrant and good. Here is, they say only some things are certain. Death and taxes, I think in life there are a lot more things that are certain. Here's one of them. All human beings are wounded and broken. All human beings, to different degrees. But we can't help but be, because that is the world we live in. A sinful world. And we wound others. In our response to our own woundedness, we sometimes hurt others. We sin. We don't live up to what we could be. We wound others when we are wounded. Here's the great thing, though. We can heal. And in our healing, we have the ability to heal others and to heal the world. But in order to heal, we have to embrace the darkness in order to move through it. When we do, we find a way through to God, to Christ-likeness, to freedom. In the darkness is the possibility of healing and of light. It's not a coincidence that on the first Sunday of Lent, this is the scripture we read about Jesus going into the desert after his baptism, into the metaphorical darkness. For it is here that Jesus finds the solitude that is necessary for looking deeply into life's challenging places. The place where Jesus prepared for his ministry to a broken world. A place of questions and of fears. And Jesus experienced these places. There is this past week we started our Lenten conversations in the chapel on Wednesday nights. We'll be doing it for the next 6 weeks if anybody wants to drop in. And the scripture, the conversation is always around the scripture for the following Sunday. So if you want to know something about what's going on the following Sunday, we're discussing it in our Lenten conversations. And the passage we read, of course, is the passage I just read about Jesus going into the desert. And the conversation moved around loneliness. And there was unanimous agreement by the group that was there that Jesus did experience loneliness. How could you not? You're 40 days by yourself. And it's not that they believe Jesus just experienced loneliness in the desert. Some people mentioned that Jesus also experienced loneliness at other times as well, because he was different. And people who are different, who don't seem to fit in with a norm, often find themselves outside of society looking in, wishing they could fit in. I believe Jesus was lonely at times. If not for the least of reasons, is that he was human. And he had to have human experience in order to be able to relate to us. Loneliness will strike all of us at some point in our lives. It's inevitable. When I first moved here in the summer, in the mid-80s, I was excited. I was young. I thought this was a great adventure. I was going to move west. Didn't know anybody, but I'd show up here and it would be a great adventure. And it was. And it still is. So I was here in the summer. By Christmas, I was so lonely. I couldn't have imagined how heartsick and homesick you could get. And I had met some people, but I didn't know them well enough yet to feel at home. Many of us have been here in one way or another. We lose a partner, and we experience deep loss and loneliness. We move to a new place for good reasons, but often we know very few people, and we become lonely. We become ill or old or depressed and cannot maintain the social schedule that we used to. Or we live in a marriage or a partnership that we think should provide comfort and companionship, but that doesn't. I was talking to a friend this week who said one of the loneliest times in her life had been in her marriage. Because when you think there should be somebody there and there isn't, it feels so lonely. There are many other sources of loneliness, and it's a painful place to be. And in those moments of darkness, it really is only natural that we withdraw more. But we know in the withdrawal, it becomes worse, and we become more withdrawn. People stop trying to seek us out. Most people don't feel sorry for us, but we begin to think we should feel sorry for ourselves in those moments. Today on Valentine's Day, we should acknowledge that there are a lot of lonely people in this world, and special days like this only serve to highlight the loneliness, a loneliness that makes us long for something else, something meaningful, community. And it is right here, right when we are in our darkest places, that we are at a crossroads, where the opportunity hits us. The one direction will take us down one road. Particularly in loneliness, there are many temptations that assail us in those moments. We often try to medicate our loneliness, and some of the ways we choose to do this, to distract ourselves from our loneliness, is addictions, alcohol, food, gambling, watching a lot of TV, being on the computer forever. Just coming here this morning, I heard that Facebook, in terms of numbers alone, is bigger than Christianity, bigger than democracy. One of the biggest things, one day last year, it hit over 1 billion people. Over 1 billion people were on Facebook. We can't claim that kind of community, even in the Christian world. It's amazing. People are looking for something. We turn to the computer. We turn to shopping. Pornography is on the rise. Unhealthy relationships. We do it just to get temporary relief from our darkness, knowing deep down that even as we engage in these things that temporarily resolve the problem, they ultimately take us deeper into our pain and darkness. We can go that way, or we can choose another way. In the darkness, in the loneliness, is an invitation to something new. To embrace a way that leads to light. That's what the Lenten journey about is, saying, do you want to go and stay in the darkness, or do you want to choose a new way, something that's absolutely new to you that maybe you've never experienced before? The fact that we are lonely and we recognize it calls to us to change. And here's the thing, loneliness doesn't demand that others look after us in order for us not to feel lonely. It is never someone else's job to fix our loneliness. Although some people look for it in that way. The only antidote to loneliness is to find ways to meet other people's needs. The answer to our loneliness, if we are to follow the way of Jesus, is to love. My answer, when I first came here, was within 2 weeks to go to the local church, because that's where I'd find company. And the very first Sunday that I was there, I joined the choir, because I love to sing, and I thought I might find community there. We need to find ways to be in community and to offer what we have to others. And the paradox is this: when we learn to love deeply, we will be loved in return. To love is to heal ourselves and in turn the world. Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, than that they would lay down their lives for another. We are not lonely due to a lack of being loved. We are lonely because we do not love. The heartbreaking thing in our world today is that some people are so wounded, they don't know how to give and receive love. The good news is, the gospel is, that God loves them, and that's the message we are to convey through our lives. The paradox of love is this, that we feel most loved when we are most loving and serving others. It is when we can begin to love, not when we feel loved, that we begin to move beyond our loneliness. We are healed when we become healers. We are loved when we become good at loving. In the midst of our loneliness, we can determine to love, and then light will flood in. Dag Hammarskjöld, the Swedish diplomat and second general secretary of the United Nations, understood the heart of loneliness when he said this, "Pray that your loneliness may spur you into finding something to live for. Pray that your loneliness may spur you into finding something to live for, great enough to die for." Jesus found this in the desert. His purpose was to love in response to God's love, to heal, to teach, and it became something that he was willing to die for. He knew in those temptations and in his response to those temptations that all the power or worldly goods or self-importance in the world is not going to satisfy his or anyone else's need to live fully. He trusted in God's love and God's purpose for his life. Love is enough because there's nothing greater. Others have found this to be true. The Catholic priest and writer Henri Nouwen, a brilliant academic, was himself wounded in life and eventually left teaching at Harvard to go serve at L'Arche, a community for people with severe mental and physical disabilities. There he wrote a book called The Wounded Healer, a manifesto on the ability to heal wounded people only through our own woundedness. He found that in loving others, he had come home. Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob Smith, who founded Alcoholics Anonymous, took the brokenness of alcoholism and the isolation that it had caused in their lives and that they knew it caused other people to be isolated, and they turned it around to serve and care for others. It has healed many people over the years. It is really those who have embraced their pain, their loneliness, their woundedness, and have moved through it to healing who are the greatest healers. We go to the desert, to the darkness, to find ourselves, to find healing, to find life, and ultimately God. The great philosopher Leonard Cohen once wrote, "To God, he said, blessed are you who has given each person a shield of loneliness so that they cannot forget you, God. You are the truth of loneliness, and only your name addresses it. Strengthen my loneliness that I may be healed in your name, which is beyond all consolations that are uttered on this earth. Only in your name can I stand in the rush of time. Only when this loneliness is yours can I lift my sins towards you in your mercy." Jesus, the wounded one, the lonely one, felt and saw the pain and damage, the sin of the world, of the wounded people. Yet in the desert, our scripture says that he was led by the Spirit toward a place of strength and resoluteness that few find unless we consciously choose, despite our fear and pain and uncertainty, to go through the darkness. We move to freedom, healing, and light through darkness. We become transformed by embracing that which we fear as we work through it. And we trust God to guide us and companion us along the way. So we will follow this journey through darkness into the light of Easter. We will explore the places in the dark that offer us the possibility of healing and transformation. And so the first leg of our journey we place on the tree today of loneliness. A tree. I might have to fix that after. As we move towards this table that has been prepared for us, the table of love and sacrifice and healing, we are reminded of the ultimate wounded healer, Jesus Christ. And as we prepare to share this meal together, we also prepare our hearts to receive healing, though it be through the way of darkness. I'm going to invite you now, as we do sometimes, to pass the peace that you have found in the midst of your questions and challenges and trials and the healing that you have found. I'm going to invite you to pass the peace with just a few people around you. When we pass the peace here, it's not about greeting each other and saying, "How are you?" and having a little visit. That's not the point of passing the peace. The point of passing the peace is to say, that little bit of light that's in me, I want to pass to you. And so we take each other's hands. It's really about looking in each other's eyes. It's not a hug even. It's just taking another person's hand and saying, the peace in me, I pass to you. The peace of Christ that I have found, I pass on to you. And so I'm going to invite you now for just a few moments to share the peace of Christ with each other and with the people around you. Peace of Christ be with you.